Okay, good morning and good night, everybody. Today's daf is Makos Daf Zayin. We are holding on Daf Vavam Beis Yadavar Acher Al Pishnayim Edim, four lines from the bottom of the page at the two dots. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander and honor his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas' mother, Golda Bas Simcha Aleha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzacha for our soldiers and our captives, they should return home safely, and also by Andrew Arking, in commemoration of the ninth Yartzeit of his grandfather, Albert Arking Avram Ben Moshe Arking HaKohen, Alav HaShalom, the Neshama Shev Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today, first the Gemara is going to talk about Beis Din listening to the Eidim through a Meturgaman, and why it is that that's going to be a problem, and that Beis Din has to be able to speak the language that the Eidim speak. Then the Gemara is going to have three different definitions of what would be, or the Mishnah is going to have three different definitions of what would be considered a violent Beis Din, meaning when is do we get suspicious that this Beis Din is going over the top in terms of executing people. The Gemara is going to talk about reopening a case that's already been closed from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael and from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. The Gemara is going to tell us how there are differences in terms of the requirement of how many Bati Din you need to have in Eretz Yisrael versus Jewish communities in Chutz La'aretz. And then the first parak is going to conclude with a discussion of how it is that some of the Tanaim, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, said that they would have made sure, they would have seen to it that nobody would ever be executed in Beis Din. How could you manage to pull that off if you have Edim and you have Asra, and if, meaning it's possible that that you could have all the things that you need in order to execute somebody. So what would you be able to do in order to ensure that nobody would ever be executed? And that brings us to the end of the first parak, and then we'll move on, Bez Hashem, to the second parak, which is all about going to a near miklat, all about going to galus when one kills bishogeg. So the Mishnah is going to give us the basic klal that if a person kills in a downward motion, they're chayiv galus, but if they kill in an upward motion, they're pater from galus. The Gemara is going to go through nine different drushos from the psukim that describe when one is chayiv galus and when one is not chayiv galus. And the Gemara is going to talk about when the Mishnah says zeh haklal. The Mishnah, after giving the example, says zeh haklal. Whenever it's derech yiridaso, you go to galus. Shelo b'derech yiridaso, it's not. What exactly is zeh haklal coming to actually teach me? And then the Gemara is going to have three different explanations of a stira in Brisos and show how it's not a machlokas tanaim, whether a broken rung is considered on a ladder is considered to be derech yirida or derech aliyah, that there are other ways to resolve that stira in Brisos rather than to say that they're arguing about that very issue, whether a guy falling as a result of a broken rung on a ladder is machlokas, whether it's derech yirida or derech aliyah. That should bring us to the Mishnah on the bottom of the base. We probably won't get much further than that. So let's begin. Again, we are holding four lines from the end of the page on Daf Vavam Beis Davar Acher. So Davar Acher al Pishnayim Edim Shlotei Sanhedrin Shama'as Mipi HaTorgaman. So we said the Sanhedrin is not allowed to hear from a Torgaman. So Hani La'ozei, there were Edim that spoke in a foreign language. Dasul Kameh to Rava, and they came to Rava's Beis Din. Uki Rava Torgaman Benayu. So Rava had a translator to be able to understand what the Edim were saying. So Frekta Gemara, what? Veichi Avadachi, how could Rava have a translator in his Beis Din? Vatanan, didn't the Mishnah say Shalote Sanhedrin Shamas may be a Torgaman, that the Sanhedrin is not allowed to hear from a Torgaman? The Ritva points out from the Kasha of the Gemara, Shalote Sanhedrin may be a Torgaman, you see that this din is only about dine nefashos. You see that this din is not only about dine nefashos, it's even about three dayanim that are done dine mamonos. And it makes sense because the pasuk of al pi shnei edim is said by dine mamonos as well. And pashtus is the case of Rava was a dine mamonos case. So the Gemara is asking, but shalotei sanhedrin shamas mi pi haTorgaman, how is he allowed to do that? So answers Gemara, Rava made the havayada madhavu amri. No, Rava spoke enough of their language to understand what they were saying, but there are different levels of fluency in foreign languages. Sometimes a person is fluent enough to be able to understand everything in that language, but he's not going to be able to formulate with confidence sentences to speak back in that language. Vaduri hudalavayada. He just didn't know how to respond in their language, so he needed a meturgaman to not so that he could understand them, but so that they could understand him. Now, there is a machlokas rishonim in this maysa, whether the foreign language was the edim or the baledinim. Rabbeinu Chananel says that it was the baledinim, meaning it says that they were asul kamei derava, that hanilazi asul, who's asul kamei derava? The baledin are the ones that are asul kamei, that show up to the Beis Din. And that's what the Ritva quotes from the Ramah as well, and it sounds that way from the Rambam in the 21st parak of Hilchos Sanhedrin. The Ritva explains that even though the pasuk that the Mishnah brings is talking about Edim, but the Gemara says Asul Kamei D'Rava, so the Gemara's example seems to be about Bali Dinim, in which case this halacha is about everybody, that you're not allowed to have a Torgamon Bain for the Bali Dinim, Bain for the Edim. However, the Ritva writes that the Shita of Rabbi Seinu is that the Din of Torgamon is only by the Edim, because the pasuk is only by Edim, and Balevrei Rava, you could say, is about Edim also, and that it's not necessarily about Bali Dinim. Meaning the Edim also come to the Basin, so that's also called that they were Balevrei Rava. So that's a machlokas rishon. The Gemara brings a maisa with Edei Halva'a that happened to have been krovim to the Arev. So it says the Gemara, Ila'a Vitovia. There were two Edim that Ruvain lent money to Shimon, and there were the Edim were not krovim to Ruvain nor to Shimon, but krevi to Arvahava. But the Edim were krovim to Levi, who was the co-signer on the loan. So Savrav Papa Lememar Gabe Lov of Malva Rechikinin. So Rav Papa wanted to say, oh, that's fine. They're not related to any of the parties to the loan, not to the borrower, not to the lender. They're only related to the co-signer. You know, best case scenario, the co-signer never gets called into action. He never needs. We never need him to show up or to do anything. So that should be fine. So I'm Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua to Rav Papa. So Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua says, Rav Papa, how can you be machshir such edus? If the lover doesn't have any money, where do you think the malva is going next? He's going to the Arev to get paid. So it's absolutely no geya to the Arev. And since they're krovim to the Arev, they should be possible to be made about this halva'a. Now the Ritva writes that he has no idea what this maisa is doing over here. Why is this not in Sanhedrin Daf Chav Zayin when we talk about psul krovim, or back on Daf Hey when nimtza echon mehem karov upasul? Right? I mean, we were just talking about Torgaman. What does this have to do with anything to do with the Maturgaman? So that goes Sabach writes that this Maisa must have come to Rava at the same time of the Hanuloazi. That is just, it must have been in Rava's Beis Din that another Shaila came around the same time. But even what this Maisa means is a major discussion in the Rishonim. The Shita of Rashi and the Balamar is that these Edim were Edei Halva'a, that the Lova was Machish, the actual Halva'a, and Mela, the Arev, was Machish, being an Arev on this Halva'a, and these Edim were made. No, this Halva'a happened, that Shimon lent money, borrowed money from Ruvain, and Levi was an Arev on this Halva'a. The Ramban just says, well, why is it that we're not Mekabel their Edus at all? L'chara, they're giving two different Eduyos, one on the fact that Shimon borrowed money from Ruvain, and second on the fact that Levi was an Arev on the Halva'a that they claim happened and that the borrower is denying had ever happened. So if the Edim are Krovim to Levi, so we can't be Mekabel their Edus about Levi, but we should still be able to be Mekabel their Edus about Reuven and Shimon. They're the only way we know that Reuven actually lent money to Shimon. It's as if you have two people who are relatives of Levi being made that Reuven lent money to Shimon and lent another $100 to Levi. So what would you say? I'll believe them that Reuven lent money to Shimon, but I'm not going to believe them that Reuven lent money to Levi. So says Ramban, why is this any different? We should believe them that that there was a halva in the one direction, but not in the other direction. So therefore the Ramban says that this is not the proper understanding of what was going on in this case. The Ramban rather follows the shita of the Ravid in his Hasagus on the Rif, who says that Beis Din knew that Reuven lent money to Shimon. That wasn't what the Edim were contributing, and they knew that Levi was the Arev. No one was denying that. There was a loan, there was an Arev. It's just that the Lova had a taina that parati, that he had already paid it back. And Reuven brought Edim that were made, that Shimon had admitted in front of them that he had not paid it back. So Rav Papa says, we should believe these Edim because they're coming to be Mechayiv the Lova, and they're not Krovim to the Lova. So that's what Rav Huna says. What happens if the Lova doesn't have any money? They're going to go to the Arev. So it turns out that their Edus is Mechayiv the Arev as well, and the Arev is is their karuv, and therefore we passel this entire edus. So that is the shita of the Raibid. There are other shitas from Rishonim of exactly what the case is as well, but we'll leave it at that. So now we move on to the next Mishnah. So the Mishnah talks about what happens if a guy is a Gemar Din in Beis Din and then he runs away. So Mishnah Gemar Dino Ubarach, a guy is a Gemar Din in Beis Din that he's Chayiv Misa and then he runs away. Ubalifnei Oso Beis Din, and then he comes back and he shows up to the very same Beis Din where he had the Gemar Din. Ein Sosrin Es Dino. We do not undo the and retry the case that maybe now we'll find a Zechus for him. We already had a Gemar Din, it was this Beis Din, and therefore we're going to execute him, even though he went AWOL for a while. And the halacha is that any time two people are going to get up and they're going to say, "Mi'idin on bish ploni shenig mardino bebeizin shel ploni," that we are able to be made that this guy was had a gemar din lemisa in a certain beis din uploni uploni edav, and we can identify who the edim were who we relied upon to be mechayev in misa. We kill him based on that edus, and we don't go back to retry the case. Now the reason that we need to say uploni uploni edav, Tosyantov points out, why did they just say there was a gemar din? Who cares who the edim were? So the Tosyantov points out, in case there could be edei achash or edei azama, we always have to make it available that let it be known that if these were the edim, and if someone else has something to say about imanu eisem, or they could somehow be machish those edim, say that they're a bunch of ganavim or whatever else. So we always want to leave that door open. Now the Rambam writes that this din that you can go to another beis din and say that there was a gemar din in a different beis din, and we're going to carry that out, is only by a rotzeach, but by other chayav emisus beis din, you cannot be mechayiv him unless the original edim come and are made again, and they're made that there was a gemar din al piyem, and then they themselves, those original edim, will be the executioners, because the Torah says yada edim tia bobo rishon lahamiso. There's a din in the Torah that the edim that testify that a guy is chayiv misa, they're the ones that have to start the actual act of killing the fellow. But so it's only by a rotzeach where we don't need the original edim to come. Where does the Rambam get that? So the Mefarshim on the Rambam, the Radvaz and the Kesef Mishnah, say it's from a sugi in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Hey, because Shmuel holds that that din of yada edim tia bobo rishon la miso is a din that's ma'akev, and therefore if let's say the edim that testified against him happened to not have any hands, then the nidon is potter, because you can't have yada edim tia bobo rishona, the edim don't have any hands. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, what about our Mishnah? It says that they could kill the nidon based on other edim verifying that there was a Gemar din without even the original edim ever showing up. So obviously you're not going to have yada edim tia bobo rishona. So the Gemara over there in Sanhedrin asks that our Mishnah is against the Shita of Shmuel. So the Gemara answers, or Shmuel answers, that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the original edim are the ones that are coming to be made that there was a Gemar din in the other basin. So says Gemara, how could Shmuel say that this din is ma'akev? Don't we find by a rotzeach that a mi'ev shalom misa b'misa k'suvabo, that you're allowed to kill him b'kol misa that you can get him on, right? Meaning, if let's say for whatever reason you're not able to give him skilo, you're not able to, so give it, kill him however. So you see there are certain dinim that the pasuk has that are only l'chadchila, but are not ma'akev, and maybe this din of yad edim tia bo barishona is also only l'chadchila, that here's a l'chadchila and a b'di'evin midoraisa, right? That you could have such a thing as a l'chadchila on a doraisa level. So the Gemara answers, no, it's a special din dafka by a rotzeach, and you can't learn from rotzeach to everywhere else, because it's shnei k'suvim abankecha, the dafka by rotzeach. So it turns out that by rotzeach, the din of yad edim tia bo barishona is not ma'akev, and therefore you could kill him with other edim. But shar chayav emisos beis din, you need yad edim tia bo barishona. That's even going to be ma'akev. So that's why the Rambam writes that this din, that if two edim come to beis din and say, other edim in a different beis din had a gemar din against this guy, that we could still execute him. That's only by a rotzeach, but by any other chayav emisus beis din, we need the original edim. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to fulfill yada edim tia bo barishona. Sanhedrin, I guess, ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz. Vayter in the Mishnah. Sanhedrin applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in chutz la'aretz. Meaning, it had to have been when there was a beis hamikdash and there was Sanhedrin Agadol of Shimon Echad in the Lishchas Hagazis, right, the Rambam writes in the Perush HaMishnayis, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to execute once the Sanhedrin is not in Lishchas Hagazis, they can't execute. But while there was Sanhedrin in Lishchas Hagazis, we had Sanhedraos in Chutz Laaretz also, in Jewish communities in Chutz Laaretz as well. Sanhedrin HaReges Echad B'Shavua Nikres Choblonis, a Sanhedrin that kills once every 7 years, is considered to be overly violent, that they seem to be trigger happy if they kill once every 7 years. Or Blazer and Azar Yomer Echad L'Shivim Shana, that even once every 70 years we consider it to be that to be a trigger happy type of Sanhedrin. The Tiferes Yisrael writes Kolomer Shahoru. What does it mean that are choblanis? It means that we see they don't put in enough research, that they're too willing to accept the edus of the edim, and they didn't push hard enough against the edim. If they pushed harder against the edim, they would have found some sort of psul in the edim. The Ben Yoyada says, no, that's not why they're choblanis. It's a taina on the Sanhedrin that they weren't mispalel al b'nei doram, that it shouldn't come to Mises Beis Din. Meaning the Sanhedrin has to are also the rabbinic leaders of the generation, they should daven for the people, so that tefillos aren't effective. Meaning, it's not we don't think there was anything wrong in the procedures of the Sanhedrin. They were doing what they have to do, but there's something wrong in their care for Klal Yisrael and their concern for Klal Yisrael by not davening for the community enough to avoid a misas Beis Din. So that's a creative, a different interpretation. Rabbi Tavra, Rabbi Kiva, Omrim, Ilu Yinu B'Sanhedrin. Rabbi Tavra, Rabbi Kiva said, had we been in the Sanhedrin at the time that they were done, Dina Nefashos, meaning. Even though Rabbi Tavra and Rabbi Kiva were around when the Beis Hamikdash was Kayam, but it was they were around only at the time where they stopped being Dan Dinei Nefashos, because 40 years prior to the Churban, the Sanhedrin HaGadol went into Galus, left the Lishchas HaGazis, because they didn't want to be Dan Dinei Nefashos anymore. So Rabbi Tavra and Rabbi Kiva said, had we been around when there was Sanhedrin, Lo Ner HaGadol Me'olam, no one ever would have gotten killed, because we would have asked questions that no Edom would have been able to answer, so we would have managed to disqualify every aid. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Afhein Marben Shofchei Dam Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that Rabbi Tavra and Rabbi Kiva, if they would have done that and they would have made it a public thing that everybody knows that no one's ever going to get executed as long as they're around, so that everyone would have known that they can get away with murder, and people would have gotten away with murder, so that would have been a terrible thing. They think that they're being such rachamanim, it's actually quite the opposite. So now, we had said in the Mishnah that if you have a Gemar Din of Misa in Beis Din and the guy ran away and he goes back to that same Beis Din, so we just execute him. We do not retry the case. Lifnei oso Beis Din hu de ein sosrin. So it sounds like, yeah, we don't retry the case in front of the same Beis Din. Halifnei Beis Din acher sosrin. But if it shows up to a different Beis Din, we will retry the case. Aye, but vatani seifa. But the same Mishnah goes on to say, kol makom sheyamdu shnayim v'yamru midin anusish ploni shnigmardino Beis Din ploni. O ploni ploni edav harezen herag. That even in a different Beis Din, if two edim show up and say this guy was already convicted in another Beis Din, we're going to carry out the execution. We're not going to retry the case, even in a different Beis Din. Samar Abaye lo kasha. Not a stira, says Abaye, between the Reisha and the Seif of the Mishnah. Kan be'eretz Yisrael. The Reisha is talking about a person that runs from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. So then we will be soser as Dino in a different Beis Din, because maybe the Zechus of Eretz Yisrael will help us in finding a way out for this fellow. But Kan b'Chutz Laaretz. The Seif is talking about a person who runs to Chutz La'aretz. In that case, we have no reason to be Soser as Dino. We just carry out the execution. There's no reason to assume that anything different is going to happen. D'tanya, Rabbuda ben D'stoy Yomer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach, Barach, Me'aretz Yisrael, Me'aretz L'Chutz La'aretz. If a person ran away after a Gemar Din L'Misa from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, ain Soser as Dino. We are not Soser as Dino. We just execute him because we assume that nothing's going to change. But Mechutz if he ran from Beis Din Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, then Sosri Nastino, then we do retry the case, because Mipnei Zuchus Shel Eretz Yisrael, because we assume that maybe the Zuchus of Eretz Yisrael will enable us to find something that will that will manage to save him from getting killed. So he said, Sanhedrin no hages, that Sanhedrin is knowing both in Eretzol and in Chutz Laretz. Minani mili, how do I know that that's true, that a Sanhedrin is knowing both in Eretzol and Chutz Laretz? Now, wait a second, what do you mean, how do I know that it's true? L'chor it's a chavos haguf, and the Mishnah in Maseches Kiddushin tells us that kol mitzvah shei chavos haguf, no hages bein baris bein chutz laretz. Which mitzvahs are only knowing in Eretzol and not in Chutz Laretz? Agricultural mitzvahs. Sanhedrin is not an agricultural mitzvah. So mehechi tesi that it wouldn't apply in Chutz Laretz. Why would I even have such a hava mina? So the Gvura Sari, the Shagasari, and the Sefer Gvura Sari says, because the pasuk says shoftim v'shoftim titin lecha b'chol sha'arecha. B'chol sha'arecha sounds like only in Eretz Yisrael. So in fact, the Gemara is going to ask him kein matam lom b'chol sha'arecha. That what do I do with b'chol sha'arecha? So there's a hava mina just by reading the pesukim that it would only be in Eretz Israel. So even though in a chinami it's not agricultural, I would have thought that maybe the Havamina is that it's a Beis HaMikdash related mitzvah, that since we are only execute when you have the Sanhedrin sitting in the Lishchas HaGazis, there's something about Sanhedrin that relates to the Beis HaMikdash. You only have you can only give Malkus when you have Smicha. Smicha was only in Eretz Yisrael, that there's something that tethers Sanhedrin to Eretz Yisrael. So I might have thought, and therefore you don't have Sanhedraos in Chutz Laretz. I don't know why that's not the Havamina. But either way, the Gemara says, how do I know that you have Sanhedraos in Chutz Laretz as well? To Tan Rabban, we have a Braisa that tells us that Vayu El Lechem L'chukas Mishpat L'doroseichem. So Laman, we learn from the words, the Pasuk goes on to say, B'chol Moshvel Seichem. So we learn from the words, B'chol Moshvel Seichem, L'Sanhedrin Shnurag Esparetz B'chutz Laretz. That Sanhedrin applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz. Im Kein Matam Lomar B'sha Arecha. So why does it say, Shavtim Shavtim Titin Lechem B'chol Sha Arecha? B'sha Arecha sounds like Eretz Yisrael. Not Chutz Laretz, b'sharech atamoshu batidinu b'chol pelech u'pelech b'chol ir v'ir b'chutz Laretz atamoshu b'chol pelech u'pelech v'atamoshu b'chol ir v'ir. That in Eretz Yisrael you have not only in every single medina but in every single city as well. Whereas in Chutz Laretz you have in every single medina, but you don't set up a Sanhedrin in every single city. That you don't have to set up a Sanhedraos in Chutz Laretz in every single city. Just every region is good enough. Every pelech is good enough. Now the Ritva says, look, if you want to set up in every city, gesundheit, you go ahead and do that. He says the reason in Eretz Yisrael you have b'chol pelech and b'chol ir is because the bezin b'chol ir are done the residents of that city, whereas the bezin shebechol pelech is done between toshvei ir achas and toshvei ir acheres. Meaning sometimes you have a dispute between neighbors, so a dispute between neighbors will be handled by your local Sanhedrin of your ir. But sometimes you have a dispute between someone in city number one and someone in city number two. So that dispute was handled by the Sanhedrin b'chol pelech. Now the Shagas Aryeh asks in the Sefer Gevuras Ari that when we learn about the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Vav, we're told that B'nei Noach are supposed to be mamid batei dinon b'chol pelech u'b'chol ir, and that's bein baritz shol bein b'chutz laretz, because by B'nei Noach there's certainly no chiluk between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. So how could it be that B'nei Yisrael that live in Chutz Laretz have a lesser din than B'nei Noach? So he leaves that as a kasha, right? Meaning that you can have a din that B'nei Noach have to set up a din. They have to set up a court system in every pelech and in every ear. But Jewish people living in Chutz Laretz only need to set up a chol pelech and not in every ear. Then we said Sanhedrin are regis, and a Sanhedrin kills once every 7 years is a chavlanis. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari said once every 70 years. Say bayilahu. They weren't sure what Rabbi Elazar ben Azari meant when he said every 70 years. Achas Hashivim Shana Nikreis Chablanis Odilma Orecharehi. Was he saying that even if it kills just once every 70 years, even that's violent? Or is he saying typical would be once every 70 years? More than that would be violent, but once every 70 years would be perfectly fine. So take the Gemara is not sure. Rabbi Tav and Rabbi Kiva Omrim Ilua Yinu. So then Rabbi Tav and Rabbi Kiva started bragging. You know, if we would have been in the Sanhedrin, no one ever would have gotten executed. So, Frekta Gemara, what trick would they have up their sleeve? Hechi Avu Avdi. What would they do to ensure that no one ever gets executed? So, Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar Darmi Tarvayu, Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar both explain that they would ask Edim that are made about a murder, Reisim Trefa Harag, Shalem Harag. They would ask, did you know whether the murder victim was a Trefa or not? Did he have some sort of disease in his internal organs where he would have died anyway? Meaning, these are things that they couldn't have possibly known. They weren't doctors who had examined him. They didn't have x-ray machines. They didn't have, MRI. There's no way they could have known such a thing. So, Amravashi, Imtim Tzulom Rishalim Hava, Dil Makom Saif Nekav Hava. And if they would say, oh yeah, we knew he was perfectly healthy, he had a clean bill of health, we saw his medical record. Yeah, but maybe in the very spot where he was stabbed, there was already a hole he was stabbed in the lungs or something, or in the heart. Maybe there was already a hole in his heart in that very spot, and he was really a trefa. So even if you did an autopsy afterwards and you couldn't find anything wrong with him afterwards, you still don't know for sure. So that's how they would have gotten them off the hook. Bebolas ha'erva hecha avavdi. And what would they do if someone was accused of being bolas ha'erva and therefore chayv misa? How would they get someone out of execution? So abayiv rav adami tarvayu risim kamachal b'shvaferes. They would ask if they saw the actual penetration, the actual maisa bia. Machal b'shvaferes is a mushal. It's a makeup tube where a stick goes into the tube. So chazal we speak b'lashon nekiya. So they're not going to actually talk about the Evarim of the man and the woman, so they use that terminology of Michal B'Shvaferes. For Rabbanan Hechi Dainu, so ask the Gemara, well, wait a second, L'chora, if you're going to be made about Arayos, you do need to see that, so because that's the definition, meaning if it's just that they were fooling around or something, but there was no actual penetration, then it's not a Maisabiyah, and if there's no Maisabiyah, then you're not going to be Mechayiv, you're not going to be able to execute a person. So how would the Rabbanan have ever been done such a person? So it says Gemara Kishmuel, Damer Shmuel, b'menafim mishiru k'menafim. In order to be chayiv misa for adultery, it's good enough to see that looks like that's what they're doing. You don't need to see with such great detail exactly what they're doing. Now Tosfos raises the question that okay, great. In Dibur Maskel Machal B'Shofaris, he says Tema Ovid Avod Zor Mechal Shabbos Meikel Meimar. He says you've shown me how Rabbi Tavon and Rabbi Kiva can get someone off the hook from being executed for being a murderer and for Isurei Arayos. Those aren't the only things in the Torah that you chayiv misa for. What if they saw somebody mechal Shabbos and you have two edim and asra and everything? How they can get someone off the hook for chil Shabbos? So it's a little bit of a surprising Tosfos. See, Tosfos writes, Yeshom demekol makom kam shabbos liyadam nerag mishum delo shchichi kulei haikiyim barotseach va'arayos. He said most of the time when someone is chayiv misa, it's because of murder or arayos. It's not because of chil Shabbos or being ovid avod zara. We rarely those cases rarely come up. When is a Jew ever mechal Shabbos? Va'od yeshal merdikal memory isim shemechalal eino treifa dimu treifa im kenim taziman lo yichayv misa mishum matzal leimer gaver katila beinan lemiktal v'havile edushiyata yachal azima. Then Tosa says, no, maybe one of the questions that they would ask is, oh yeah, you said Reuven was mechal Shabbos. Do you happen to know if Reuven is a treifa or not? Meaning they have no way of knowing whether Reuven's a treifa, and if he is a treifa, then it's a gavra katila that they're trying to kill, and if they're trying to kill a gavra katila, then they're not eligible for a hazama, because you can't do kashasam lasus lach. If they wanted to kill him a little bit earlier, then he otherwise would have died anyway, whereas they're perfectly healthy, so killing them is not going to be a proper kashasam, and that's how they would have managed to finagle around giving this person chiyuv misa. So Adrin Lach Ketzel Eidim. Now we begin Bez Hashem Perek Eluhein HaGolin. So this Perek, like we said, is going to talk about the dinim of an ir miklat, how a person kills Bishogi, goes to the ir miklat, and stays there until the death of the Kohen Gadol. So says the Mishnah, the person is only chayiv to go to the ir miklat, not only if he kills Bishogi, but it has to be, he kills in a downward motion, that it's derech yur. So, Eluena Golin Haorig Nefesh Pishkaga. The following people go to near Miklat. Someone who kills Bishogeg, and the Mishnah explains what type of killing. Hayemaagel b'magila. If a guy was standing on his roof and he was tarring the roof, the rooftops used to be flat roofs, but it couldn't be perfectly flat because if it was perfectly flat, it would cave in with every rainstorm. So they would put some tar in, and it would be on a little bit of a pitch. It would just be on a little bit of a slant. So the guy is making that slant on his roof with the tar on on his roof. Vinafalalov, so he was magil b'magila, and the equipment that he was using fell out of his hands, and it fell on somebody else. Varakto, and it killed the other guy. Or hayim eshalshel b'chavis, he's lowering a barrel that's tied by a rope from the roof to the ground, and the rope slips out of his hands. Vinafalalov, and the barrel falls on someone down below. Varakto, and it kills the guy down below. Hayyorid b'sulam, person's going down a ladder, and his foot slips from the ladder. Vinafalalov, and he himself falls on the guy below. Varago, and he kills him. Harezegola, all those cases are derech irida. The guy's tarring the roof, going downhill. The guy is lowering the barrel. The guy is going down a ladder. So in all those cases, you go to near miklat because it was a hariga b'derech irida. The Tosfos writes in Dibra Maskel Haya that the Mishnah chooses three examples of as a lozu avzu, that from the smallest chiddush to the greatest chiddush. Then not only in a case where the ma'agila fell out of his hands and killed someone does he go to galus, where there you're going to be mechayivim galus because he should have been more careful that it shouldn't have fallen out of his hands. But even if he's lowering a barrel from Rosh Hagag, where he was being careful that the barrel shouldn't fall because it's in his best interest. He doesn't want the barrel to break. Meaning with the magila, it's not going to break anyway. Meaning the whole, so the only reason to be careful is because you're concerned about somebody else. So maybe he wasn't so careful. Maybe he's responsible somewhat because he wasn't being, but with the barrel, I would think he'd be much more careful because that barrel has value to him. And nevertheless, he's going to go to Gullus. And not only that, even if he would be even more careful because it's not about a barrel, it's about his physical body. It's about his own well-being. He's the one going down the ladder. So I would think he was being as careful as he possibly could, and maybe that's not a shogeg, maybe that's an ones if he falls off of the ladder. Now, afal pikein, it's still considered a shogeg, and he's still going to go to galus. Avalim hayam moshech b'ma'agila, but if he was pulling the ma'agila, v'nafla, meaning he was pulling it in an upward motion, v'nafla lov v'aragtu, and it fell and it killed someone. Hayadola b'chavis, he was pulling up the barrel up from the ground to the roof, v'nifsak hachevel v'nafla. And the rope snapped and it fell on the guy and it killed the guy. Hayola Basulam, he was going up the ladder of Enafal of Vahargo and he fell off the ladder and he killed the guy down below. Hareza Enogala. Then he does not go to the Ermiklat because he killed Bederech Aliyah. Zeaklal, Kol Shabderech Yudaso, Golav Shabderech Yudaso, Enogala. Anytime he kills Bederech Yerida, he goes to Golos, and if he kills Shalom Bederech Yerida, he does not go to Golos. Now you'll notice the Mishnah does not say what the halacha is. If he kills in a way that's neither Derech Aliyah nor Derech Yerida, whether he goes to the Golus. But the Pashas of the Mishnah is, Kol Sheb Derech Yerida So Golus, V'Shalom Derech Yerida So Ein Golus, sounds like you need Derech Yerida to go to Golus. Anything short of Derech Yerida, you don't go to Golus. Even though the three cases in the Mishnah where he doesn't go to Golus all happen to be Derech Aliyah cases, but it doesn't have to be Derech Aliyah, it just needs to not be Derech Yerida. And Tosus points out, and Daftas Amalav, that the reason for Derech Yerida is because Derech Aliyah is Karav Li'onas. And the Rambam says something similar, that the reason you don't go to Derech, to Golus, Derech, when it's Derech Aliyah, Shezeh Kamo Onushu, She'en Zeh Davar Karav Li'os Barov Ha'itim, Ela Kamo Pelahu. That it's much more common that when you're going down, that you got to be careful that you don't fall. But when going up, you typically don't think of going in the opposite direction, and therefore it's something that's unusual. Whereas when you're going down, Shari Derech Nefila Matzoi Barov Ha'itim Lahazik V'Dover Karuv Hu Lios, the Rambam writes, Shari Teva Hakavei Lerid Lamata V'Mehera Volv Loziris Asma V'Tikin Ma'asav Yasa B'Shas Yerida Yigla. He says that's the nature of gravity, that when you're already going down, so you'll be pulled down more easily. Okay, so that's the whole thing is strange, why you even need to say anything. It's based on the Gezeres HaKasuv, so do we really need a reason as to why it is? Does it need to be a svara? Maybe the whole thing doesn't have a svara. But that's how the Rambam, and Tosos explain. So says Gemara, Minani Mili, how do I know this din that you only go to Golos if you kill Derech Yerida? Amar Shmuel, to Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, Vayapel Olav Vayamos. So we darshan, Vayapel Achiyipol Derech Nevila. It's got to be a falling. Falling means downward. Tanur Rabbanan, so Gemara brings a brisa that darshan's all the psukim about a rotzeach b'shogeg, that the pasuk says It says Vinas Shama Rotzeach Makay Nefesh Bishkaga. So we darshin Bishkaga Prat Lemezid, that you only go to Galus if you killed someone Bishogeg, but not if you killed someone Bemezid. And it says that you killed someone Bivli Daas. Bivli Daas Prat Lemeskavin. That excludes when you have a Kavana to kill someone that you don't go to near Miklat. So it says Mezid Pshita Bar Katalahu. Obviously you don't go to Galus if you kill Bemezid. You're Chayv Misa if you kill Bemezid. I need a Brisa to tell me that we're darshin an extra word in the Pasuk. So Amar Rava Ema Prat La Omer Mutter. No, the Bryce one says Prat La Mezid is not coming to tell us Prat to a person who Mamish kills Bemezid, but it's La Omer Mutter. A person kills someone Bemezid, but he thought that he wasn't doing any Isser in killing the other person. So we do not treat that as a Shogeg, and he does not go to a near Miklat. You should not have thought that that was Mutter. Amar Le Abayis. Abayis says to Rava, I Omer Mutter, Anusu. If he really thought it was Mutter to commit this act of murder, he's an Anus. He didn't know about the Isser Ritzicha. So how can the Tana call him a Mezid? So Amalei, Rava says right back to Abayi, Shani Omer, Omer Mutter, Karv LeMezidu. Someone who doesn't even learn enough to know that it's not Mutter to murder somebody, so that's Karv LeMezid. He should have paid more attention in Yeshiva when they said Lo Tirzach, right? He should have, there are enough places where you could find the Asar Sadibros. He should have been able to figure that out. So Bivli Das, Prat LeMeskavein, so Meskavein, Pshita, Bar Katalahu. We said Bivli Das, as opposed to if he's Meskavein. Of course, as opposed to if he's Meskavein. If he's Meskavein, he's Chayv Misa. So Amrabba Prat LeMeskavein, Laharagas HaBehema, Varagas HaAdam, Likuti, Varagas Yisrael, Lenefel, Laharag Ben Kayama. No, it means Prat to a case where he's Meskavein to kill, but not to kill someone for whom he'd be Chayv Misa. He intended to kill a Behema. So killing a Behema is not nice, but you're not going to be Chayv Misa. You're not going to be Chayv Misa for it. Or he intended to kill a Kuti, and he accidentally killed the Yisrael. You're not Chayv Misa for killing a Kuti or a Nachri, might be the proper Girsa. Or he intended to kill a Nefel, where also you're not going to be Chayv Misa, but there was a death blow that was served and just hit the wrong target. So that's what we're telling us, that even that's not called the Shogeg when it hits the wrong target. So the Gemara brings a Brisa. Darshan's a whole bunch of words in the Pesukim about Galus. Tan Rabbanan. The Pasuk says, Vim bepeta beloeva hadafo o hishluch alav kol kli below tzediyah. So a lot of halachas that we learn from here. In bepeta, we learn that only when he's able to see the victim, then he's going to go to Galus. Prat lekeren zavis, as opposed to a case where you just turn a corner, you bump into the guy, and you accidentally kill him by bumping into him, where you had no ability to see him prior to that. Below Eva, Prat Lasone. Below Eva means with no previous animosity. If the murderer in this case was a sone of the murder victim, he does not go to Galus, even though he says that it was Bishogeg, he says that it was an accident. And the reason is because we don't believe him. We assume that it's probably Bemezid, even if he's saying it was an accident. Tosos and Daf Chesam and Aleph raises the question, why does the Torah have to write below Eva to tell me that a sone doesn't go to Galus? It's a Beferish Apostle, Kasher Yakes There's a pasuk in the Torah that says v'hu lo sonei lo. So Tosfos answers that even though we know from the words below Eva to be memayit asonei, the Torah writes it in Sefer Dvarim because it's Mishnah Torah, and a lot of times you have things that are said earlier in the Chumash that are repeated in Mishnah Torah bishvil davar sheneschadesh b'hem, because there's some other detail that's added in the Mishnah Torah. So what's the davar sheneschadesh? That it has to be doma liya'er. We'll see in the Gemara tomorrow. So it also says you can't ask that. We already learned this in Sefer Bamidbar, because it says v'hu lo oyev lo v'lo mevakesh ra aso, because that pasuk is needed to tell me that a person is not kosher to be made or be done anybody else if he's an oyev lo. So that tells me another din that forget about going to galus. It also tells me that you're not allowed to be a judge or an aide in a case where you're a sone to somebody. So anyway, so Prat Lasone. If he's a Sone, he does not go to Galus. Hadafo, Shedachafo Begufo. It has to be that he pushed him with his body without any Kavana. And we don't say that he did it, meaning even if he pushed him with his body. We don't say that he did it Bemezid. Oishlichalav, Lav Yerida Sheet Sarachaliyah. That tells me that even though we said you only go to Galus if it's Bederich Yerida, But nevertheless, we're mechayev him in any type of yerida, even if it was letzorech aliyah, meaning a person is holding an axe and he wants to lift the axe high up. So, but in order to get the momentum, he needs to lower it down first in order to lift it up high. So, if he kills when he's in the lowering motion, he's going to go to galus for that as well. Below tzedia means he didn't intend to throw to this item to that spot. So, it's only when you intend to throw. This excludes the case of bad aim, where you don't go to Golos, that's Korov Leones. That comes to tell me that if he intended to throw with two Amos and it landed four Amos away and killed someone, he also doesn't go to Golos, that's also called Korov Leones. So what do I learn from that phrase? Just like a forest is a place where anybody's allowed to go, it's Hefker, Saf Kol, Rishus Nizgul Mazgul Kanisham, that you're only going to go to Golos if the event happened in a place where everybody was allowed to be. The Nizik and the Mazik both had permission to be there. So, Baminer Rabbi Avam Rabbi Yochanan, Haya Ola Besulam. Let's say a guy was going up a ladder, Vinishmet Ashliva Mitachtav, and one of the rungs came loose and broke, Vinafla Vaharga, and therefore the guy fell off the ladder, or the rung fell off the ladder and killed someone. So, Mahu, what's the din? Ki Agavna Aliyahi? Do we say that's considered derech aliyah because the guy is going up the ladder as it's happening? Oh, yuridahi. Or do we say that that's going down because the rung itself was going down? It buckled under the weight of the guy and it went down. So that's derech yurida. Some lekavar negata yuridashi tzorech aliyah. He says, well, you already discussed yuridashi tzorech aliyah. So over here also, this rung of the ladder was only being pressed downward because the guy was going up, and we said that that you go to Golos even when it's Yerid Tzorech Aliyah. So Rabbi Avo asked Rabbi Yochanan, but the Mishnah says that klal kol shabiderech yiridaso Golos shelo biderech yiridaso eino gola shelo biderech yiridaso lasuyemai. When you say that if it's not in the downward motion he doesn't go to Golos, what case are you coming to include? Lav lasuyki agavna, isn't it coming to include this exact case of the rung of the ladder coming loose that you don't go to Golos in such a case? So L'taymech, Rabbi Yochanan responds back to Rabbi Avo, what do you mean? Just because you said it in the lashon of a klal, you need to be marbis some case? When it says kol shebederech yiridaso, you are gola. What does that come to include? Elu lasuye katzav. It's coming to include a case of a butcher. Hachanami lasuye katzav. Over here also it's coming to include a case of a butcher. What kind of case of a butcher? D'tanya, katzav sheim katzav. You have a butcher that's chopping bones. So tani chada lefanav chayev le'achrav pater. We have one brisa that says that if he kills someone in front of him, he's chayev galus, but if it happens when he's striking behind him, it's going to be pater. V'tanya idach, we have another brisa that says li'achrav chayev lefanav pater, the reverse. V'tanya idach, and we have a third brisa, bein lefanav bein li'achrav chayev, that regardless of whether it's in front of him or behind him, he's going to be chayev galus. V'tanya idach, and we have a fourth brisa, bein lefanav bein li'achrav pater. So lo kasha, and it's none of these brises are astira to each other. Kan be yiridah shel lefanav aliyah shel achrav. The first price is talking about where it was derech yirida in front of him, derech aliyah behind him. So he's only going to be chayiv when it's derech yirida, when it's in front of him. Kan be aliyah shel lefanav yirida shel achrav. The second price is talking about when it's derech aliyah in front of him, derech yirida behind him. So he's only going to be chayiv behind him. Kan be yiridah shel lefanav vishel achrav. The third price is talking about where it's derech yirida both in front of him and behind him. And kan be aliyah shel lefanav vishel achrav, where it's derech aliyah both in front of him and behind him. Meaning there are different times when a person is swinging an axe from in front of him to behind, where you're going up and where you're going down. So when you pull it back, you're going up in front of you, and you pull it all the way back, you're going down behind you, and then you pull it back up, you're going up behind you, and you strike whatever's in front of you, and you're going down in front of you. So that's what it's talking about. So that's the klal in our Mishnah. Kol shebederech yiridaso gola means that in a case where he lowers his hands, whether lefanav or liachrav, that even though he wants to raise up the axe, but he's only doing it because he wants to, but he's only going derech yirida because he wants to get momentum. That's still called derech yirida. So lema ketanoim. Maybe this is in fact machlokas tanoim about the case where the rung comes loose on the ladder. Hayol b'slim nishpul shlivim mitachtav. A guy's going up a ladder and the rung comes loose. So tani chada chayev tani idach pater. So my la ba'akol mifli demarsav yirida demarsav aliyah. Isn't that exactly this case? And they're arguing whether that's called yirida or aliyah. So says more lo to kuli alma aliyah. everyone says could hold it's called aliyah, lokasha, kanla nizakin. The Bryce that's mechayiv says you're chayiv for nizikin because it doesn't make a difference if it's aliyah or you read it for nizikin, and kanla galus. And the Bryce says you're pater, talking about galus because it's considered aliyah. Iba you say mahava halagalus. So they're both talking about galus, velokasha. Had it's aliyah. The Bryce that's mechayiv is talking about where the rung is rotted out, and therefore when you step on it, it bends downward before it falls, and therefore it's derech yirida. The other is talking about where it's solid, and therefore it snaps, but it didn't bend downward first. Or it could be that they're both talking about where it was solid. It's a question of how tightly fastened it was. So the Bryce says, your pot from Gullus was where it was very tightly fastened, so it just snapped and it never went down. Whereas the other Bryce that says that you're going to be Chayiv Gullus is talking about where it wasn't so tightly fastened, and therefore it did go in a little bit of a downward motion before it fell. Okay, Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Dav Zayin and Beis. A good night, everybody.